This morning I want to pray and we're going to get started. God, today I give you the praise and the glory because you're worthy. And I just ask, Lord, that through this service this morning that you would anoint your word and let it speak to our hearts. And God, more than speaking to our hearts, that our lives be transformed, changed, moved from where we are to where you would have us be. God, that we'd be a people that is hungry for your power, walking in your authority in a culture that's fastly decaying. God, I pray you build a kingdom of bold believers and rise up, God, before it's too late in a world that's dying. That's why you sent your son Jesus to make this difference. And then we're ambassadors for your name's sake. And I pray you use us mightily for your kingdom's sake and get us out of the way so that your glory can be revealed on this earth through the vessels that you have anointed to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the series, When the Church Becomes the Church, and I put that in a present tense, that when the church becomes the church, because I truly believe there's a church within the church. A lot of people go to church angry, upset, frustrated, mad, want things their way, demand things their way, and need to be babysit. I'm not interested. Can I just say that? I'm not interested. But God is looking for sold out, heart changed, surrendered people that will walk in his righteousness. In today's culture, the church is told, be quiet. Just shh. You can be a Christian, just shut up about it. I'm going to tell you, when God does what he does in a heart, you can't be quiet. Jeremiah, the prophet, prophesied, it's like a fire shut up in my bones, and I can't contain it. And we need to allow the Spirit of God to be uncontainable in us by releasing him to be who he wants to be through you. Let me tell you something. God don't need you and me, but he wants to use you and me. And he can only use us when we surrender to him. But this deal that we're watching the world and tell the church and try to dismantle the church and remove the Ten Commandments, take this down, stop that, stop prayer, let's don't do this. All of this stuff is not new. The church has been like it shocked them that it's just, I can't believe that. We got to be quiet. We can't be involved. The separation of church and state tells the church to stay out of the state. No, that is not what separation of church and state means. Separation of church and state was to keep the state, the government, out of the church. Not telling the church how it should dictate. Why? Because the Spirit of God needs to be dictating to the men and women that have surrendered to him how they're to walk in authority and in his power. And in his authority and his power, there is no quietness. There is no shut up. There is no back up. There is no sit down. There is no get over it. There's authority, and all authority is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And it's time that the people of God, that the church of God, rise up in his authority and be who he has called us to be and get out of reverse mode. It's not new that they want the church to be quiet. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to start at verse 3. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. Now listen to what he's telling his disciples. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas, one of the disciples, in verse 5, says, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Sounds like the church today. What way are we going? What way? My Lord Jesus. It is time for the church to know the way. Because Jesus says this to him in verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. My Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me. I think that's the problem with the church today. We're not in strong enough relationship with Jesus. But he says, and you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does this work. You see, here's what we got to learn as the church. Anything we do and speak as a believer, we need to be stirred up by the Spirit of God. And if we're going to be stirred up by the Spirit of God, we've got to seek the Spirit of God. And James wrote, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. What needs to happen in the church is the church needs to learn how to pray again. The church needs to lay on its face again. The church needs to have tear stains, spit stains, snot stains, carpet and concrete in their sanctuaries because believers are hungry for a move in the power and the authority of God in our culture. Why is this so important? Why is it it's not something that we, an optic that we can show? Our children are being destroyed because their hope is being destroyed. There is no hope without the power of God. And our children are being so confused by a culture that is a godless nation. We are the nation that is one nation under God. But I'm going to tell you, you can stamp it on your dollar bill, put it on your police cars. But until the hearts of people surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're not a nation under God's authority. We're a people that has to surrender to Him in order to be under that authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1962, Madeline O'Hare is labeled the lady that took prayer out of school. One person. One person. The truth is, and I'm not defending her, prayer has never been banned from the schoolhouse. What was banned was teachers leading that prayer. That's what was banned. But what has happened is prayer stopped at the home. Hello? Prayer stopped at the house first. If you're mad because they took it out of the school, who took it out of your house? Why ain't you praying at home? How long's it been since you knelt down by a chair and shut that sewer line of a television coming into your house, shut that thing off, and give God some glory? Hello, if we will make our house a house of worship, the power of God's going to fill your life because God ain't in these buildings. God don't come into your house. God comes into your heart. And God is wanting to use you and minister through you to a culture. All through the four Gospels, they tried to silence Jesus. In John chapter 11, if you'll turn back a few pages with me. John chapter 11, verse 46. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And then the chief priests and Pharisees, I want you to look that this is your political leaders, religious leaders. Are y'all with me? We think that Isaiah prophesied that the rule of government is on his shoulders, on Jesus' shoulders. And we want to think the church has no place in government. It has every place in government. But the reason the church ain't making an impact on government is because the church ain't governing itself correctly. And the only way the church can govern itself correctly is by holy men of God surrendered to His authority and seeking Him for direction and pointing the way for believers. Hello? That's biblical. He said, but they went away. The chief in verse 47, then the chief priests and Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? Question mark. For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. You know what will happen today if we begin to let him live through us the way the scripture describes? Everyone will believe in him. The world will be changed because of him, because he lives through us. And the Romans will come and take him away, both our place and the nation. You see what would happen? We would lose our power. We would lose what we have set up. Look at verse 49. And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest in that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expended for us that one man should die for the people. And this is what Jesus done. One paid the price. Jesus already said it to his disciples in John chapter 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we learn to understand Jesus and we learn to walk in his authority, we learn to be the church that he's coming back for. Two reasons they crucified Jesus. The earthly reason, mankind is evil. The second reason is God is good, because God purchased every person that'll come and surrender to him. He purchased them with the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that day. You're purchased by that blood. There is no more atonement. Jesus is that atonement. He is the one we surrender to. He is the one. He said, I am that one. And we need to walk in the fullness of that. Mankind, after his death on the cross and his resurrection, Jesus comes to his disciples in Luke 24. I got a lot of scripture I'm going to read today. And he said to them in verse 44, 24 and 44, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. This is what needs to happen today. The church needs a good understanding of the scripture. The only way you're ever going to understand the scripture is to spend time with the Word. The Word is Jesus. He is the living Word. And when we learn to spend time with him and we learn to seek after him, then some revelation begins to come. Watch verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Time out right here. Repentance? He wanted to preach repentance and for the remission of sin. And that's what should be preached. But we cannot. Now some of you need to listen to me now. You cannot go through the tradition of religion and do this name it, claim it lifestyle and continue in a wayward lifestyle and be a child of Jesus. You can't do it. God won't bless it. God cannot bless what you will not surrender to him. God will not bless what you will not surrender to him. God cannot invade what will not surrender and come under his authority. Watch here in verse 48. And all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise of my Father? We're going to get that. Underline that in your word if you're reading along with me. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. When we become surrendered to Jesus, you become a power source. Where they're talking about this thing in our nation now, we got to be on the lookout for our power grid to just be shut down. A cyber attack's going to shut down the power grid. You're going to be without power. You better plan on trying to stoke fear. Okay? We need to plan for that. And if you're smart, you listen, you just plan, okay, if it happens, it happens. We're too dependent on the world. That's why we're not dependent on God. The world's got too many things to offer me, comforts. You know what power does? It makes an air conditioner run. Let it get 100 degrees, and we complain about, oh, Lord, man, it's 105 out there. I'm going in the air conditioner. What you going to do when it ain't running anymore? Who you going to complain to then? And it's not the power line coming to your house. It goes what do you call them? The big sites where power is, and it's sent out. And that's what they attack, and then it stops it from coming to your house. Let me tell you something. The church house needs to be a powerhouse, and we need to get plugged into the power of God. And we are the articles, the arteries that are to go out into this community and into the highways and into the hedges and sow hope into people's life. And if there's ever time that people need hope, it is now. But when the church sets hopeless because of what the world is doing, when the church has no hope, how can you bring hope to a lost and dying world? That's why the church must become the church. Verse 49, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus shared that is what is going to take the promise of the Father on men to become bold proclaimers that he intended and intends for his followers to be. Acts 1, I'm going to go through a lot of scripture kind of quick here. I'm going to try to hush my mouth. Love you, man. I've been missing that voice, I'm going to tell you. And I love you. Verse 8, he says this, but you shall receive power. This is what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus in John chapter 20 breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and said, receive it. Now, in the church world today, in the evangelical community, and especially in America, we hear people say, oh, now the Holy Ghost, that was for back then on Pentecost. Let me tell you what the Pentecost is. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. It's the festival of weeks. Was happening before the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. They were having an annual celebration. And what that thing entailed was that the men would bring their first fruits to the city. They would bring their first seed to the city. It's about the harvest, okay? It was about the harvest, okay? Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down? It was about the harvest. Had nothing to do with a spiritual move of God. But what the spiritual move of God was that when 120 people gathered together in that upper room and the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak with other tongues, they spoke with other tongues, and people were from all over Jerusalem and in that region were hearing these people proclaim the gospel. They were hearing them in their language, and they were confused, and they were like, what's going on around here? And then we've made that in the evangelical community that it's this weird thing. But I'm going to tell you what's even more weirder, that the church walks without power. Because you can't. I don't care what kind of tongues you speak in if you can't have power. I'm telling you, church, God is wanting to move in our nation, and it's got to begin somewhere. I'm gonna get off track here for 1 minute. I had a man send me this message this week, and y'all know this man, my brother Terry. I'm going to read it to you. Let me find it. Y'all bear with me.
God is so great.
All the time, God is so great. Laurie, would you come here and get my phone? No, never mind. I got it right here. Here we go. You got to be smarter than a smartphone, right? Well, I'm not. This is what Terry sent to me, and I'm just going to read the post he sent. First and foremost, please don't come down on the post trying to tell me what a wonderful man Joel Osteen is. This is a pastor man here. He said, I don't care. My point is not really about him. It's about the sickening weakness of the church in America. I'm going to tell you right now, along with this man, I unite myself with him because the church is sick. It is sick that it has no authority and no power. He said, my point is not really about him. It's about the sickening weakness of the church in America. It's about the cowardly pastors who stand in our pulpits and measures their tone and temper, their words in order to fill their pews and pockets. It's about those pastors who care more about making their congregations feel good on earth than making sure they secure their spot in heaven. And it is about the truth which most pastors refuse to tell today because it might cost them their job. But which costs John, and John stood up for, it cost him his head. You know why it cost John his head? Because they wanted him to shut up. You know, that it didn't just start. It didn't just start with the Biden administration, with the political leaders of this day. It's been going on since the beginning of time. Just shut up. Shut up, Christians. Stop it. You'll ruin our authority. You'll ruin our power. And if the church can't look at this phony power that's going on in this world right now and trying to destroy this nation that God founded, hello. Holy men of God wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. Holy men of God stood on that thing, and these men today wouldn't be backing up. Our formers of this nation would be standing up because why? They knowed what to stand on, and they stood on biblical truth. This is why the church is so weak today, is because it does not stand on biblical truth. And you cannot stand on what you do not read. You cannot stand on what you do not understand. You cannot stand on something you've not had a revelation of. You cannot have a revelation without seeking the presence of God in your life. The only way for you to have a revelation from God is to get in tune with Him, to get surrendered to Him, and to seek His authority in your own life. It's the only way the church can become the church, because the church is a living, functioning body of believers that need to be empowered from the throne room of God, and we've been without too long, and I am making my stand. I'm making my stand that we walk in the authority of God and stop mollycoddling what's going on in this culture and crying poor pitiful me, and wake up and be the people of God that He wants you to be. Acts chapter 2. Come on, Donald. God's got to help us all. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, this is what... Get with me now. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." Repent and change your direction. Stop it. Stop doing what you've been doing. This is what I can't tell people in the church now enough. You cannot continue in a wayward lifestyle and use him as your savior. It won't work for you. It will not work for you. The church is weakened by your half-hearted relationship with Jesus. There's a man, he was doing a little, he was doing a message, and he talked about his wife drawing a, she takes a little vial this big, she sticks it down in the pool, she gets the water out of the pool, there's 18,000 gallons of water in the pool. She takes this little vial to her pool company, she hands that to them, and they can tell everything that needs to go on in that pool, what you do to keep it clear, what you do to make it pretty, by that one little vial of water. He said, if you're the vial that represents your church, what does people say about your church because of your lifestyle? Do you know these people that walks out this door and hits these streets and bad mouths and talks and hates and gossips like garbage? You think God is pleased with that? Happens. It don't just happen here. It happens at every church. But until you, as a person, stop saying you know Jesus when you can't walk in his power and in his freedom. Stop it. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus of Nazareth for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. The word exhort here means to strongly encourage them to. He said, exhort them saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Perverse generation, I love how the King James Version reads right there. It says an untoward generation. The word untoward in the Greek means a generation without direction. You know what we're living in today is a generation without direction. And it is the church's responsibility, because if you know the way and you're following the way and you're surrendered to the way, who is the way? Jesus said it back in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we live surrendered to him, we walk in his authority, we walk in his anointing, we walk in his power. You're a ray of hope to people that are out there that are confused about their identity and don't know if they're a little boy or a little girl, because this is what the culture wants to shove in on them. I'm telling you, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And it is time that the church begin to rebuke this false authority that is destroying our children, because if the church don't rise up now, our children will never know God, because their agenda is to erase God from this nation and shut the church up. And the church better wake up and get busy about what God has called you to be now. It's not going to work 5 years from now. You got to do it now. We got to do it now. I may have to sit down for a while. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. I done read that. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The boldness of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Now, I'm gonna speak this so we can Peter and John goes to the gate of beautiful, and this man been sitting there, he's wanting to be healed. And he's begging alms, he's begging for something because he's crippled, he can't walk. And Peter and John said, look at me. And he looked at them hoping to receive something from them. Just give me something. We got a whole generation saying, give me something. Give me something to believe in. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, such as I have, I give it unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he left that place leaping and jumping and praising and glorifying God because he was made whole again. We got a generation that may not be crippled physically, but they're crippled emotionally, and they're crippled in their mind, and they're being destroyed in their mind. And we have the authority and the power in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit of Almighty God to begin to proclaim the righteousness of God to a generation that is going without. It don't matter about your age difference. It don't matter about they're younger than I am. I'm much older and I'm intimidated by them. Stop it! Amen. Get involved in these kids' lives and give them some hope. Yeah. And if you don't want hope as a church, get out of the way, because God's going to bring up a church that wants some hope spread around. And I can't say it bold enough to you. If you don't want what God wants around here, move out of the way. Get out of the way. You're hindering what God wants to do. And you may never answer to me, but you will answer to a righteous God. You will answer to a righteous God. Peter and John were arrested, thrown in jail because of what they done. Shut up. Y'all with me? So it ain't new. Shut up. You can be a Christian, just shut up about it. Why? Because people going to believe in what you're doing. No, they ain't going to believe in what I'm doing. It's about what he's doing. It's about what he's doing. Come on now. And he goes on here in verse chapter 4, because I got a lot of word I want to read. And I'm going to try to get done. Y'all pray for me. In verse 13 and verse 23 of chapter 4, I think that's where it's at. Y'all just bear with me here. We're going to start there. And being let go, this is where I want to go. They let them go now. The authorities has let Peter and John go. They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. Hello. Y'all with me? They raised their voice. They didn't shut up. Why? Because they were like Jeremiah. They had a fire in their bones and it couldn't be contained. So when they heard this, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. You see who they begin to give glory to? Because men want their own power. They don't want God's power. But these men and these people wanted God's power. And in verse 25 says, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. You see, God had to give Jesus, because Jesus, now I'm going to get back on the day of Pentecost, he was the first seed. He was the beginning of the New Testament church. And he was part of the festival of weeks. Hello? The first fruit. It was God's first fruit. And he had given it. Now the Lord took on their threats and grant to you that, to you servants, that with all boldness, you hear that word? With all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see what's going to happen? I was raised a Pentecostal boy, and I know what it is to be around a spirit-filled powerhouse, but I've also been around people that could speak in tongues and walk out the door and hate people. That ain't God. Don't tell you got some kind of spirit, and it ain't holy. But the place was shaken by the power of God. This is what's going to happen. How do we know the Holy Spirit is on us when you can have the boldness God intends for you to walk in? There you go. How do you like that one? Stop saying, well, we can have the Holy Spirit, but all that other mess, y'all need to read the Word. Argue with the Bible. Don't argue with me. I didn't write it, I just read it.
Thank you.
Acts chapter 5, they laid sick people on the streets, hoping that when Peter was passing by, his shadow might fall on some of them and they would be healed. It wasn't Peter's shadow, it was the faith of the people. And go read about it. It happened. And it wasn't about Peter's shadow. It was about his boldness that he was speaking. And people, the spirit of man inside of them was so fired up because there's got to be something to this. But the world is looking at the church now, today in 2024, and going, they ain't nothing to that. Because the church ain't the church. And when the church becomes the church, the people of God are going to walk in this same boldness because Jesus ain't weakened.
Amen.
He ain't weakened. The church did. We watered it down. You just pray a prayer, fill out a card, get dunked in the water, and just show up every Sunday. You're good. And you continue in a wayward lifestyle, and you still got vices and addictions and things that's clinging to you that you can't get rid of, and you got nobody to go confess it to when the Bible tells us to confess our faults to one another. Pray for one another that we may be healed. We can't even get a prayer through for a common cold sometime. I'm watching Donald. I'm seeing a miracle, what God's done here. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is not done and God ain't through. God is wanting to do a great work in the church, and it's time for the people of God to get fired up about who Jesus is.
That's why I went to the hospital, because I was doing, you know, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen, you do.
But I was doing something wrong, and he let me go and put me in the hospital. And that told me, and it was smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, boy, wow, I want you clean. And the whole time I was in there, I told myself, boy, you're going to quit that time, because if you don't, God is going to stop loving you. And that was it. He started loving me, and I ended up in the hospital.
Are y'all listening to this? He was smoking marijuana.
I told God that I was going to quit loving you, and that's why I'm here today. Because God loves me.
Amen. Amen. With that point right there, he was smoking marijuana, doing things he had no business doing. I didn't know that. If I'd have known that as his pastor, I'd have been saying to him, Donald, get rid of that garbage. Stop putting that junk to your lips. That's why we hide. Anything you got to hide, anything you got to hide, anything you try to hide, he sees it. And he's trying to bring your heart. Why is God against you? No, he wants what's best for you. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you. And it is time that the people of God stop the. And it's the little bitty things. Why do you major on the minors? Because if you major on the minors, you'll never deal with the majors. If you major on the minors, you'll never deal with the majors. Sexual immorality being one of them. Heterosexual sin in the church, it's rampant. Pornography in the church, it's rampant. Even in pulpits, it's rampant. God forbid that we surrender ourselves to that kind of garbage. Because what it does is short out, we have got a cyber attack on the authority of God. by Satan's throne room. And it's time the people of God rise up and stand up. All through the book of Acts, we see signs and wonders and boldness. And I'm going to wrap it up right here. I got a lot more to go through, but I guess we'll go again next week. All through the book of Acts, people, now here's what we live in the Judeo-Christian community today, pre-trib and post-trib. The church won't be going through any tribulation. Then tell me, what in the heck are we going through now? Some tribulation? So stop trying to figure out what you're going to go through and what you ain't going to go through, and surrender yourself to God and walk in His authority, and you won't have to worry about what you go through. When Stephen was, they stoned Stephen. They took, and why did they stone Stephen? Shut up. Shut up, Stephen. Stephen told him, said, you an uncircumcised, you're, I'm going to go read it to you. I can't help it. He said this right here. In verse chapter 7, verse 51, this is the rebuke that Stephen gave. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, one of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by direction of the angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut in the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Verse 55 says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, he being full of what? The Holy Spirit. He being full of what? The Holy Spirit. Gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice, stop their ears. And I believe that's what many in the fake church is doing. But there's a church within the church that wants to hear the truth and be set free by the truth. And I'm challenging you, stop hiding in this place. Come out wherever you are and be the child of God that He's calling you to be. Because greater is He that's in us than the ones that want you to shut your mouth. And then he cried with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. That's what the world's doing. It's in more of a unity than the church is. That's why it's got more authority. That's why it's got more oomph about it, because it's walking in some unity. And what is their unity? Nothing matters. Just do what you want to do. Feels good, do it. Them are lies from the pits of hell. There's no way to inherit eternal life in the throne and in God's kingdom without a surrendered life to His authority. In verse 8, he says this right here, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. I want you to read this part with me. And the witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later became Paul, and they stoned Stephen. And while he was calling on God, saying, you would think he'd be begging for his life, wouldn't you? Lord Jesus, they're going to kill me. Have mercy on me. Help me, God. Listen to the prayer Stephen prayed. And they stoned Stephen, and he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now here's a gang of hoodlums, thugs, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, running at Stephen, gonna stone him, and he falls asleep. Read the word. They didn't get to kill him. And let me tell you this, people, if we're persecuted and we do have to die at the hands of some thug for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, look what he done for me. And when I have to die and leave this earth, I'm going to a place that is eternal. We need to stop working for heaven and start doing the work heaven wants done on this earth, and then heaven will be our eternal home. We got to get us out of the way in order for God to be able to do what He wants to do. Where is the boldness of the church today? I'm going to ask Kit and them, come on, man. The church has done without the power long enough. Go back and look, read Acts chapter 19. I'm going to tell you, Acts is a book that will fire you up. If you need fired up, read the book of Acts. Get on with it. There's some good stuff in there. And if you get hung up and you can't understand it, call me. Because I love to talk about it. There ain't nothing greater than this word right here. There's nothing more empowering in the spirit of a man than this word right here. Nothing more empowering than the spirit of this than this word right here. Because it's Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, these sorcerers had watched Paul cast out demons. And these sorcerers had stood over in the shadows and watched, and they were the one they charged people to do their tricks and deeds. You with me now? That's how they made their little money and stuff. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. That's an abomination to God, by the way. And their witchcraft, when Paul left, they would go over there and they find a man possessed with demons, and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. Go read the scripture, Acts chapter 19. And these demons stopped what they were doing, and they said, we know Jesus, and we know Paul. But who are you? And you know what happened to them? They got the crap beat out of them and sent naked and bruised into the street. What is trying to destroy young people on this earth today? The one that lives in me is going to use me to make a difference in some kids' lives. Because I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to sit down, and I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to do it for the glory of God Almighty and not for myself. And that's what your life needs to be about, is about the glory of God and not yourself. Would y'all stand with me? What you need, I'm going to challenge you. We need to be set free. Again, our floors need to be tear stained, spit stained, snot stained, because we are seeking God for His authority in our life. Make a difference in our families. Make a difference. It don't start about who you don't know. How many people do you know right now as a believer that you know that I'll never get to speak to need some hope from Jesus today? Ask God to give you the power and the boldness and the authority that He intends for you to walk in Jesus' name. God, today I pray your strength of authority and boldness over every believer in this room and all over this room right now. If you need something from God, I want you to begin to come on. Just begin to step out and come on and receive from God what He's got for you. Father, I pray today you do a great work in the hearts. I pray your word would lodge in our heart to bring about the change for your kingdom. It ain't about us. It ain't about us. It's about you, and it's about who you are in us, God. I pray for the church to be able to walk as you intend for us to walk, God, surrendered to you. Lord, I pray for freedom, freedom in hearts, freedom in believers, freedom in the church. I pray that you would make the church in Athens, Texas, and let it start right here. And God, please begin with me. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. All over this place, come on. Whatever you need of, have need of from God, make your way this way and receive from Him today. Hallelujah.